Type Radio presents Sand Design Discussions.
Hi, I'm Anja. I graduated in Krefeld, Germany, and now I'm in the master course of the Rietveld, the Sandberg Institute.
Hi, I'm Maartje. I graduated at the Rietveld last year, and I'm now also a first-year student at the Sandberg Institute.
Yeah, today we invited our fellow students to join us for a discussion. Last week we sent you a lecture by Joseph Mrozek, a Polish art historian and head of the design department at the Art Academy in Warsaw, Poland. The title of his lecture was "A Tradition Imagined, Some Remarks on European Design."
I think with this text, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but the reference to a tradition, I mean, to me is really easy solution. It's so cliche to me. It was nothing new as an idea.
Yeah, I mean, he's a historian.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to know where things come from. You can't, I mean, ignore where things come from. They bring a new understanding to how things are now, but the role of history shouldn't be to be stuck in it. It should be a reflection or a mirror of where you are now. I don't know how the Europeans feel about that.
I think that's exactly the problem. That's exactly what he's trying to handle in this text, is trying to unify Europe somehow, while actually it's only 40 years ago, no, actually more, but, you know, Europe was quite a war zone, you know, and now all these countries are united, but that's only an economical reason, and it's a pure economic reason, you know. It's not like how America was
It was a corporate consortium, I mean, pretty much.
But then, you know, it's somehow weird to try to find more values for that and try to unify it. Or it's almost like, you know, I don't know. You know, when the humanists rewrote the Bible, they rewrote it because they, some things weren't happening in reality the way the Bible described it. So they rewrote it, you know. It almost feels like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like rewriting European history. About returning to, like, put it down, you know, everything that happened here. And actually, I think it wouldn't be so bad to just acknowledge it, that it's economic, you know, foundation. It's actually quite an honest way just to rely on that.
I mean, there's next to that, there's also a thing like globalization going on, which is far bigger than this whole Europe thing. I mean, people look outside their borders because of the internet, because we have access to all these different cultures all over the world. So, is it an issue in general, Europe? I don't know. I don't think for designers working, it's not really an issue, because you can get in touch with people in Japan or all over the world with no problem. You don't need Europe for that. You don't need to have a European identity for that.
Well, especially for younger people, I think.
Yeah, but who says here, I'm Europe? Do you say I'm European? You say I'm Dutch or I'm German.
Yeah, it really depends on to whom I'm talking.
What is Europe? Then again, you have Europe as a continent, and then you have the EU, you know, which is again another thing. So it's so weird to say that. And then there's so much diversity. I would never call myself European. I just say I'm from Belgium. And then if it's a Japanese, I say I'm from Europe.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
I clarify it more than really identify myself. But it feels so happy that they want to somehow copy what America does. And I just think, you know, just because we're so used to that, to how they present themselves, then all of a sudden, because we're unifying also somehow, then we need to do the same. But I really don't see the need for that yet.
But right before you...
They have a reason for it.
But
they have a reason.
Right before you said you experienced that you cannot go to the hospital here in Holland because you have your insurance in Belgium. Isn't this an argument for a European constitution?
Yes, in a way it is, yeah. It would be good, but on the other hand, I'm very traditional European then, I think. Oh my God, I'm saying it. Yeah, I think all of the diversity would be really gone on the same hand. If, you know, everything would be.
Which would be like losing of identity.
Yeah, exactly. How the Dutch rule their country is so very different than the Belgians, and I think the Belgians would be quite offended if the same rules would be like put upon them. This changes from country to country. Some countries have to vote. I don't think that in Holland you have to vote. You have the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in Belgium you have to, otherwise you get a fine.
Really?
Wow.
I think that's a good system.
But it's a very different system again, but I believe more in the fact that you have to.
But is that the gist of public participation? You check a box and that's pretty much all that's expected from you. The rest, you have no idea what's going on. Everything that's happening with these experts of panels and ministers and stuff like that, I mean, unless you're a dedicated political analyst, it's hard to wrap your head around it as a, say, EU citizen.
Yeah, but even then, you do have a preference. Even though you don't have, like, a very different, clear opinion about it and you're not really into it, I still think that you stand for something because of...
That you vote for your EU representative, and then the rest goes behind the curtain of Oz. I wonder, yes, like, how, if you do want people to believe in this idea of the European Union, I mean, if the governments, or the EU Parliament shouldn't be involving people more somehow. Do you guys agree with this kind of democratic way of designing Europe, that the preamble is open like this, the flag as well? I'm just wondering what you think, because I've never been a fan of democratic design, in a way. I mean, what I mean by that is just that I worked for a community group once that also thought, let's open it up to the public. And so, of course, children and teenagers and a few parents were contributing their designs. And then the designers were really just there to be like a jury to pick something.
And is that then democratic design?
I don't know. I mean... This is how it's presented. You know, all the citizens of Europe should be able to contribute their thoughts on what the preamble to the constitution should be. I'm not saying everyone shouldn't have a voice.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting just to get voices, like, and get people to think about it, and makes them more like active again. Mm-hmm.
But they've already made a decision for you. They've decided that there should be one.
Yeah.
And so that to me is not really a discussion. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, we've decided for you, now we just want your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
It's like an afterthought.
Yeah, it feels a bit like a fake democracy in a way, because you say, well, you can all say something, but we decide whether we hear it or not.
I don't know, I think there's a way of handling public participation without it becoming another popularity contest, like elections. I mean, elect your favorite flag. It could result in anything, a happy face. I mean, if everybody likes the happy face, then that's now your flag, you know.
And also I have a feeling that it's going to be the most mediocre design, you know, the one most appealing to almost everyone. Yeah, that's exactly what quite some cities in Belgium are making new identities for the city. So, for instance, for Antwerp and Ghent. And the slogan of Antwerp is, the city is for everyone. And the slogan of Ghent is, Ghent, so much Ghent. Ghent is like, Ghent is for anyone. Also, Ghent is so much the way it is. You know, it's just this kind of mediocre design that everyone is pleased by.
Agrees.
I'm surprised.
It's even worse. It's like, it's a design that nobody has a problem with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's even worse than like, everybody's okay with it. They don't have a problem with it.
The interesting thing about social networks is that they don't force you to participate. You can if you want to, but it's not like you mentioned, Lauren, these elections that you have to vote for or else you get fined, right? There's an interesting part about public participation that is open to those who choose to participate. Like, you don't have to be an active Wikipedia editor. You don't have to be a MySpace member. It's all like, it's a different kind of participation. Also, a friend of mine from Spain said that he was living in Canada and he had to go to the embassy and vote or else he had to pay, like, a lot of money. But he had no idea what was going on either. Like, he didn't even know anything about the candidates, but he was forced to vote, and it's a strange kind of participation level.
But isn't that also, like, a good thing? That you're sort of, on a very small scale, forcing your people to think, at least, like, for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. I mean, the thing is that I've had so many conversations with friends from work in Toronto, and a lot of them are like, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he's been doing a good job so far, but they have no idea what his platform is.
Yeah.
In Canada, you don't have to vote, but a lot of people do.
And that's really the wrong way to force people for voting.
Coolest.
It's like really scary, I think. It's like
it's really funny. I really have the idea that that's the way to go. That that's right.
Then it just goes wrong when you have to force people. It's like you have to think about other things.
You
know, it's like
then you can't complain about anything if there are new laws. I mean, you have no rights.
A vote, an absent vote, because we have. And say none of these candidates interest me. I show up to the polls. This is my participation, but I don't agree with any
candidates. Yeah, exactly. But there you make a statement. If you don't vote at all, I mean, then I think, well, I guess it's the same way as making a statement that I do not believe in anything that.
I don't say people shouldn't vote, but I think they should be free to choose, and if they are really not interested in anything anymore, then it's like you have to find the problem somewhere else, I guess.
Is there more than just commerce that these European countries have in common? I mean, is it just a commercial? If it's just an agreement like that, then how far does Europe extend? Like, when do you say yes and no to one country? I mean, what do you all have in common, or not?
Not much in common, but just maybe the basic fact that every country needs to defend the human rights, the basic human rights. I think that's the thing they have in common, actually.
Yeah, if the argument's that they support human rights, then, I mean, is North America part of the European Union as well? Is that enough of a distinction that makes it unique? Because they are talking about a North American Union now, and I mean, what's next? You know, an Atlantic Ocean Union?
The World Union.
Well, that's coming. I mean, that's another thing, but...
It's the European Union, because it's Europe, because it's geographically located.
Yeah, it's a continent, you know, like a continental area.
Further than that, I have to search really far to find, like, a general, you know, thing that everyone has in common, like all these countries.
The fact that cities in, like you called Antwerp, need an identity and a quote, a logo is already saying that the city has no identity, but that you need to design it, because before there was no need for it, you just had this identity.
There was no heraldry before.
There was
medieval heraldry. I mean, branding's been around for a while.
But it's very religious. It was
But these quotes also, I, Amsterdam, it doesn't come from the people of Amsterdam, I think.
Which is Amsterdam based.
And they tried to do the which same afterwards with London.
And
they wanted the same, and then they did London, like London, you know?
London.
They were so jealous because the I Amsterdam, but they wanted exactly the same, and then they did this bad London.
And then they also had London, like just the name, and then a tagline, Unlimited. Which sounds like a cell phone company or something. And then the funniest thing is that a few years ago, this also Toronto-based branding firm developed an identity for the city of Toronto. Is not linked to the government but for tourism, which was Toronto Unlimited. You know, like all these seems like really, I don't know, they just, there's a lack of authenticity or something missing about the way identity is being developed now. Maybe that's different.
You earlier said if it's it's purely based on commerce or the EU is a company, then isn't this the right way to approach it as a company?
Yeah. Yeah,
but hopefully the brand, I mean, if you are, let's say, a corporation, and ideally the brand speaks to the shareholders, the employees, and it also speaks to a market. Ultimately, the goal is for it to mean something to these people, you know, that they identify with it somehow. I think maybe that's what's lacking. So whether it's a government or a corporation, I mean...
That's lacking for the European Union.
A lot of
the European Union was only set up because of economical reasons.
Yeah.
And then it grew out for more countries, and now it's becoming really big, and all of a sudden they really feel this need, because you have all these global powers, such as China, which is huge, America, blah, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, Europe kind of like is already quite powerful, but needs to unify itself to be able to play the game with them, but it's definitely...
It was an industrial cartel. People who got together, who had the same interests, who were supposed to be competing with each other, but joined forces.
And we were losing money because of all these borders everywhere. It was costing them money, so they thought if we could get rid of like the internal borders, then we sort of make more money. That's the whole idea. I think the overall idea is to get to sort of go beyond this economic starting point. I think they do want some legislation that goes into every territory of society, but it'll take a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. The more defined it gets, the more difficult it will be to find common denominators for all these parties in all these various countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're sort of even talking about like expanding.
Yeah. Well, then why isn't diversity the common denominator? It sounds counterintuitive.
But I am also wondering if it is the job, is it the task of a designer to think about why there should be a European Union? Is it not more like something for art historians? So now we're sort of looking at history, which sort of defines the future in a way. What future is there? I mean, the history of Europe is that we have all these different countries, and the future is like we should be one. So can you sort of apply laws that we build up in the traditions of design, and can we apply those to the future? Is that possible? And is it a job of the designers to do so?
I wonder, maybe we shouldn't see it as us giving an opinion, but more as seeing it as an assignment. As we were talking, maybe we should see it as a company. And then there shouldn't be the question whether we should unite, but just that the assignment is, okay, there's a unification process, and what would be the identity?
But then we should first like agree on that this is necessary, and I think that's still not happening.
But
we are already in this round, it's not happening.
No, but agreeing on whether it is necessary, we are speaking as European citizens, right? Mm-hmm. Not as designers. I don't know if that's true.
But I don't know either if it's like a historian, because then exactly it's going to happen what you say, is by looking at the tradition, you're going to say what will happen in the future.
Well, then you're a future forecaster. It's
yeah.
A different job. But let's say you were commissioned to redesign the European Union flag. And, of course, when you present your new design, how do you present the idea? Like, what words do you refer to? How do you...
I mean, there is an identity somehow, and to give it, like, a relaunch, you have to go... back. You have to look back, you have to get your learnings. And
you mean by the identity, you mean the flag?
Maybe
it's
just
a manifestation of the identity. I mean,
it's just
one of the visualizations of it.
But should it also be a flag?
Yeah.
I mean, a flag is such an old-fashioned tool.
Or if it's a photograph, or let's say you have to pick one color. You have to pick one color as the European color, and you were commissioned to do this. I mean, how would you approach it?
It would be brown, like the mix of all
colors.
Let me guess the typeface. Something beginning with an H?
Yeah, I mean, if you're commissioned...
And they're not even part of the EU.
Because oftentimes people talk about, you've commissioned me to design your identity, and I've chosen this typeface because it has these characteristics, right? And so what characteristics would your typeface have, for example? I mean, how do you talk about it?
It would probably have a lot of characteristics, like a lot of details.
But now again, you're approaching this idea of an identity exactly that you have to represent all of the different nations.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone has to be somehow represented, right? Well, if you state that it's just an economic structure, so it doesn't really apply to the, you know, to different identities, or, you know, it's just a structure that is above it, built upon it.
That's
know?
How you see it. For me, it's like way more emotional, actually.
And then it can, and it's more easy, I think, to make an identity from there, you know. From the idea that it is just some fungus which is placed upon it.
That's really
but it's exactly what it is, huh?
That's
one
really
fungus,
like
spelling.
Mm-hmm. That's your opinion. I think there are people thinking about Europe differently. For me, it's like really point of identity to be diverse. It's like the same discussion coming up in the Netherlands as well, like your builders. Like claiming that there's lack of or losing of identity through its diversity, which is like, I mean, can be like the identity of the Netherlands. It's, for me, it's a really strong part of the identity of the Netherlands that it's so diverse and multicultural. So
the whole idea of a national identity to me is such an, not old is maybe the wrong word, but a really nationalistic behavior, you know, like only having the need to have this one symbol and one idea for a country, for me is really nationalistic and somehow a little bit wrong. And maybe that is because I am every day on the internet, and I don't really feel such a big gap between someone living in Japan or But it's funny because in Belgium also, Belgium was constituted in 1830, never had an identity, right? We were like Flanders belonged to the Netherlands, and then Wallonia belonged to the France, and then it got mixed, you know, and then we were brought together. And then they gave us like a Volkslied, a national song, which no Belgian knows, really. Like even the Prime Minister sang it wrong recently, because it's just not, it was never grown from our country, and we were just set together. And then they also tried to define Belgian identity, but they never succeeded, just single beat. So there is no real Belgian identity.
Yeah. So maybe designing Europe is really not a European thing. It's not like natural. Like
I think someone from France would probably talk very differently about that, you know, but my belief is that it's not really necessary.
Yeah, because American is like a designed thing somehow. Maybe that's
Americans
just
had a reason. They had a revolution. They went to another country. They had a reason. You know, they had story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They built it up. Like there was really like it an idea, there. And Europe was more like developing somehow. Maybe
much more like an organic structure.
I had the feeling, the general feeling, but I could be completely wrong, but is that this fungus of the European identity, kind of the fact that it is forced upon European citizens, makes them experience a loss of European identity, because people seem to want to be so individual and have their own identity, and forcing a general identity seems to get a lot of backfire. Or
if you want the public to participate in the development of an identity, let's say that some people do believe in it, they should set it up on Wikipedia or on a wiki-type platform where it's not just voted for, and then you get something mediocre. The people who want to participate, which will probably end up being, certain communities, but it's open to everyone, they develop this if they want to.
I mean, it's interesting, this preamble as well. I mean, it's the way the wiki structure works is that it's open source, but ultimately it is there are decisions made. I mean,
quite interesting. We could hold the track, the changes then, and show what's being let out, show what's added.
Or even, not just the preamble, but a constitution would be interesting if it was written wiki style.
So you need everyone participating to have some level of knowledge of the whole, the law and what is necessary to sort of write a law.
Yeah, and I mean
that's a tricky part.
The level of professionalism needed. There are major checks and balances within the wiki system that ensures accuracy. It's open to error, but it has really strong checks and balances for accuracy. And there was a study done recently that found that actually the Wikipedia the Wiktionary, and that the Wiktionary has less errors than the American Oxford Dictionary. So I think there's something to say about quality and professionalism that can come from these systems, especially when it involves law.
Well, I think it's a very good way to sort of summarize the whole thing and to offer a solution for defining European identity, like to have some sort of wiki kind of set up to the problem. I think that's a very good solution.
Or at least as a test, you know.